We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It's Friday in Brevard County, Florida. That means that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. We pray that you are planning on having a blessed day today. May God be good to you at every turn. We want to say thank you today to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 632-9538. If you have any mechanical issues around your house, I don't know if you ever watch some of those home improvement channels and things like that, but a lot of times they go into these homes and they find all sorts of electrical surprises. And if you are tired of dealing with inferior power supply, I want to encourage you to contact Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. They travel all throughout Brevard County. Make sure that you have the number correctly. It is 632-9538. 632-9538. And give them a call. They will get you fixed up and running. They do awesome work. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and it would be a blessing to them. We also want to say thank you for those who have called. If you haven't called to support the fundraiser, the offering here at WMIE this week, 632-1000 is the number. You can still call today. You can call today. You can call next week. If God lays it upon your heart, say, hey, you know, God laid this on my heart, and I want to be a blessing to help keep Christian radio on the air. I would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our Sunday services this week. Sunday school's at 9:30. Our worship services are at 10:30, and we are going to feast on God's word, feast on fellowshipping with one another, and learning to be more like Jesus day after day after day. So if we can be a blessing to you, we would very much like to do that. We love to impart the word of God in such a manner that people can understand it so they can live by it. So today we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. And we didn't finish up with every verse in chapter 2. I told you we're going to skip some chapters. We'll bypass over some verses and stuff like this. This is not meant to be an exhaustive study of every word and syllable in the book of Isaiah, just to touch on some things that may be very helpful to us. And I want to talk today, so let me just read out of chapter 3, Isaiah chapter 3, verse number 1, and it says, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the skillful artisan and the expert enchanter. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed, every one by another and every one by his neighbor. The child will be insolent toward the elder and the base toward the honorable. When a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, 'You have clothing, you be our ruler, and let these ruins be under your power,' in that day he will protest, saying, 'I cannot cure your ills, for in my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a ruler of the people.'" So I want to talk to you beginning here at the first part of chapter 3, because this is what happens when we separate ourselves from obedience to God's word, to doing things God's way. What God says is when you do that, you are going to find a leadership vacuum. You are going to find an absence of leadership. You are going to find things that have always been are suddenly not there anymore. I was I scanned through Facebook here a little over a week ago, and as I was doing it, I was waiting for my wife and daughter to get home. I'd been out of town, and they were at church, and so I was waiting for them to get home. And when they arrived, or while I was waiting for them, I saw this video about a person from Harvard. It wasn't a person with a theology degree, but he was talking about this person from outside the United States that had come and had spent time here in America. And what he said shocked this particular man. He said, "I did not realize how important the church is to America." And this guy was a mathematics professor, if I remember correctly. And he was just taken aback about how do you see that? I mean, Harvard is not exactly known as, you know, just a tremendous base for, how do we want to say that? Holding the church in the highest levels of esteem. Normally, it is a church bashing, even though it was originally started as a Bible college. In fact, if you want to know something about Ivy League schools, almost all of them were started as conservative Bible colleges, and people came in and led them down the primrose path where they no longer believed what they did. And so then people would go and they would start a different one, and it followed, and all of them started off pretty much that way. But this guy comes in and he said, "In fact, I tell you that if you ever want to see your society fall apart, just marginalize the church, cause the churches to close. And when you do, you are going to find that people are no longer going to have a law inside themselves that says, you know, I want to obey the law. I want to do what is right." You see, the church is designed not to externalize the things that are right and the wrong, but to have them written up on people's hearts to where we want to do the right thing. You know what? I don't want to be taxed into obsolescence because somebody's got some new level of bureaucracy that they want to impose. And some of you might be saying, "But wait a minute, you said you wanted to, you pray for people so that they would be blessed into the highest tax bracket." Yes, I do. I want people to be blessed financially really, really well. But that doesn't mean that just because there's more revenue that you need to create more expenses. There needs to be wisdom there. What I want to do is I want to have a heart to bless people. Do you know that the Bible says that the poor you will always have with you? You can help them anytime that you want. Now, I will tell you this, where people are saying, "Oh, you just don't want to support the, you know, helping this person or that person." And my argument is the exact opposite is true. The exact opposite is true. I just don't want to pay a government official to do it. I believe that it is the church's responsibility. I believe it is the church's privilege to help transform our community. And here's the thing. We do not have a money problem. We have a sin problem. We have a lack of awareness of the way to do things the way that God says. The more we have taken God, the more we have severed him from our society, the more degradation there has that has taken place in our social situations. Look at what it says. It says the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water. It's all been taken away. When you've got no bread, you are going to starve. It's not going to go well for you. I most people can last about 40 days without food. Okay? not in a healthy manner, but you can survive for quite a period of time without food. And you know, I've got a reserve tank, so I might even be able to get by a little bit longer. But it doesn't stop with the fact that the supply and all of the food is gone, but it says the supply of water as well. You can only survive about 3 days without water. So a friend of mine, he posted on a blog, he's on a journey to get healthy. And he said, when you get up of a morning, your body is not craving the caffeine from the coffee pot. He said, what it's actually craving is water, because while you slept during the night, you became dehydrated. And we are, there's huge, almost 3/4 of our body amounts to water weight. We need water. That's why NASA and scientists, they're looking for water, because they believe that if they can find water, they can find life out there. You know, while I'm on that subject, I was thinking the other day about how the world talks about there is this limited amount of wealth. And I said, you know, I'm pretty sure that there's resources that are available in heavenly bodies, that if mined could really increase the amount of financial reserves here on earth, if it were to be, if you want to get right down to it. I think that if God had a gold nugget that dropped down from heaven, that all of a sudden the earth's value just increased and my debt level went way down. Can I get a witness today? And so he says, I'm taking away all of these. Now listen, whenever there's a crisis, whenever a hurricane comes through Florida, what do they say? They say, stock up on your batteries, have an evacuation plan, have food in place, reserves and all of that sort of stuff. But what are you going to do when that extends for a prolonged period of time? Remember, food supply was one of the things that enemies attacked when they came in to invade a country. They attacked the food supply. And so God says, you know, your bread supply, your water supply, it's gone. Listen to what it says in verse number 2, because we're going to talk about the human vacuum that is created. The mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the skillful artisan and the expert enchanter. All of these things it talks about being taken away. Where would you be if there were no heroes that stood up? What if everybody just threw up their hands and said, I quit? What if the person who they had never been afraid to take on a fight and they said, you know what, I'm done. What if the people who prayed for the lost said, I'm done? Where would our society be? If intercession stopped, where would we be as a society? But he doesn't just talk about the mighty man and the man of war. He says, what about the judge and the prophet? You know, I grew up in a time where the term common sense was used quite a bit, and it was used in a manner that was actually complimentary. It said that there was a level of judgment of self-awareness of what was right and what was wrong, of how to do something and how not to do something, that there was a level of societal common sense that was so good that if you fell beneath that, it was uncommon. It was uncommon. And now, whenever we talk about common sense, people say things like this: common sense is not so common anymore. Things that were a rarity decades ago are now the norm today. Things that have no possible way of ever succeeding are now considered to be the the most frequent way to attack something. I believe that in the day where good, sound judgment, people who could make a judgment according to the word of God, that when that has disappeared, that the people who still cling to that are going to be able to be seen as a great value to society. So what about this thing? Let's talk about judgment just a moment, where it talks about don't judge lest you be judged. Most people make judgments according to their own background. I've known people who were opposed to one particular thing that's very popular in society right now. They were absolutely opposed to it. And then all of a sudden they found out that a family member had that in their life experience. And they said, oh, well, it's not so bad then. Their theology, everything changed because they knew somebody that had that going on. I want you to know that biblical judgment is not supposed to be biased, and it's not supposed to be bought. It is supposed to be based upon God's word. What does God's word really say about it? And you know what? I'm not here to dictate that to you. I'm here to set a table for you and say, why don't you open up your Bible and sit down to a spiritual feast and say, God, show me your ways. Lord, raise up judges that will not be bribed, that cannot be corrupted, but will judge according to the word of God, which is going to endure forever. He took out of the way the judge. There were all of a sudden people who had always said, this is right, this is wrong. The judge was a person that the oppressed could go to, and he could cause the oppressor to cease and desist. The judge was there to make sure that there was right and wrong that was manifest throughout the community. And God says, because of the way that you've chosen to live your life, that person is going to have no influence. The other person that's taken away is the prophet. The prophet's responsibility was to tell forth the word of God. Sometimes there were things that were going to be mentioned that had not happened yet. You can read the book of Isaiah and you will find things prophesied in there that did not happen for hundreds and hundreds of years. Other times the prophet is simply there to say to the king, look, this is what God says. Thus saith the Lord. The prophet extends an invitation to society and says, this is the way, walk ye in it. It says, return unto God. It is the invitation that there's hope, there's future that is available if we will do it God's way. And he said, because of the way you've chosen to live your life, the prophet has been taken out of the way. You know, when that happens, whenever the prophet comes forth and they start rejecting and abusing and killing and persecuting the prophet, it's a very bad place for society. Let me see if I can find a text in the New Testament here just a second. I'll try and talk to you, because the way that we treat people is very, very important. It says, if you receive a righteous man because he is a righteous man, that you will receive a righteous man's reward. I'm not really finding the reference to it right here at the moment. He said, if you receive a prophet because he is a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. And so it's very important that we receive the people that God sends our way, because there is a reward, there is a benefit that is coming our way. And so please do not reject people that God has sent into your life, because he is looking to set you up so that you can receive that. And so, you know, it happened to me several years, goodness gracious, this is 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I had a person that came in and did some work about this time of the year for the church. They said, I'm going to give you a discounted rate. And I thought, man, that's fantastic. And I knew what I worked for. And so that was my perspective. And then when I got the bill, I found out that their discounted rate was about three times what I was accustomed to making. And we had some negotiations that took place. And here's what God said in the midst of those negotiations. So I said, you know what? I want to pay you what you're asking for. God said this, if you begrudge that craftsman what he is earning, then you have set yourself up to where I could never entrust you with that type of financial reward for yourself. And I said, God, I want to pay him. I want to pay him. And he ended up and he lowered his price a little bit, but it wasn't with a bad mindset. I was like, I want to receive him as an expert in his field. And God, I pray that people will receive me in such a way that, God, I know you're going to take care of all of my needs as well. So that's the reality that I want to share with you. We've got to have the prophet. We need the prophetic voice. We need the thus saith the Lord. And so I hope that the churches that are out there, that we're not compromising our message so that people will like us more. A friend of mine told me one time, he said, there has never been a revival that has taken place when the level of the authority of God's word has been lowered down to where society is comfortable. The only revivals that take place is when the word of God and the standards of righteousness have been elevated to where people said, we can only get there with the help of God. So we need the prophet. He said, but the diviner and the elder, the captain of the 50 and the honorable man, the counselor, the skillful, the artisan, and the expert enchanter. So let's look at some of this other leadership vacuum that is created. Okay, so we got no food, we got no water, we've got no military, we've got no judge, no one calling us back to God, and we have no elders at the gate. Elders would sit at the gate, and they would decide, this comes into my city, this stays out of my city. This is right, this is wrong. There were elders who had life experience, and they were willing to impart that wisdom to other people. Elders was not so much about age as it was about experience. It was people who had been discipled, who had been taught, who had been trained, and who had a love for their community. What would our country look like if instead of the most wealthy and the most powerful, that we had people who were sitting in our offices who had a relationship with God and the wisdom of God, and they said, this comes in and this stays out. This will edify our community. This will tear it apart. There, folks, I'll tell you, and from my perspective, we appear to have a serious leadership vacuum in our social systems from the grassroots all the way up. We need to fall on our face and begin to cry out to God and say, God, would you restore the wisdom to elders that has been there in times past? And would you have them sit diligently as watchmen to make sure that our communities thrive? It goes on and it says, the captain of 50 and the honorable man. You know, when I see that, the captain of 50, I think back to Moses, and he said that there was going to be structures in place. There were going to be people who would be skilled over 10, and there would be people over 50 and over hundreds and over thousands. There are people who are listening to this program right now, and I want to ask you, are you functioning at the level that God wants you to function at? Listen, there are some really large churches here in Brevard County. thousands and thousands of people, but they have to be intentionally smaller. They have to have people who will nurture those 50s or those 10s. And so I want to ask you today, when you go to church, are you going just to sit there for a little while? Are you going to fulfill some religious obligation? Or are you say, God, you know what? You have enabled me to have some life experiences. I think I could be a blessing to a small group of people here. God, would you help me to find my place? I don't want to be taken out of the way. I know that my son, I never got the military lingo down, but there was squads and there was companies and battalions and all of these different divisions. And if you demonstrated faithfulness at that small level or at that lowest level, if you demonstrated faithfulness as an individual to the team, then they would make you leader over a team. And if you demonstrated faithfulness over that team, then they would make you faithful over a larger team. And they would just continue on that way. And yet in the church, we have people who don't want to demonstrate faithfulness at any particular level. They just want to be over a lot of stuff. And what they want to be is over the glorious stuff, the people over the things that cause people to see them and hear them and all of that sort of stuff. Can I tell you, I didn't come looking for this radio program. It came to me. It came to me. And so I want to share with you, society needs faithful leadership at every level. Adults, we need faithful leadership in our homes. We need faithful leadership in the PTA. We need PTO or whatever they call it now. We need faithful leadership at the school board. We need faithful leadership in the county commission. We need faithful leadership in our churches. We need faithful. It says the captain of the 50 and the honorable man. Listen, when doing the honorable thing is no longer honorable, society has reached anarchy where they are going to do what is right in their own eyes. And that is a tragic day. The skillful artisan, listen, when the counselor, people who can help people to do the right thing, we need those people. We need those people. But what about the skillful artisan, the person who takes pride in their craft? Can I encourage you? I know some construction people, they are excellent at what they do. Mechanics that are excellent at what they do. Whatever your job is, do it to the glory of God. If it's a bookkeeper, be a bookkeeper for Jesus. Do it well. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. We please take him away. Purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on in